He's the Alpha and the Omega. Hallelujah. Can you hear me back there all right in the back? Okay. What's the matter? Praise the Lord. So, keep in mind that you start planning your route to get to this place next Sunday. What is there? What is the celebration or whatever? Marathon.
So you can park down the street and run to church.
Oh, it's one of those important things. I understand. Yeah, I understand.
That's why they're calling you on Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I wish I had their mentality. I wear their wisdom, right?
No.
It looks like city fathers would be smart enough to understand that a back street's better than a front street for a marathon. Right? Who wants to run a marathon on a main street? And I run in marathons, believe it or not. And I'd much rather be on a... By the way, did you? Let me give you a little tidbit. Did you know when that runners can tell the difference between asphalt and concrete?
Oh, yeah.
One's a lot harder than the other.
Right.
And if you're running 5 miles, 10 miles, 13 miles, 12 miles, it makes a big difference on your endurance if you're on concrete or asphalt.
Right.
That's no extra charge for that. Praise the Lord. All righty. Well, evidently some people liked last week's message. I won't attempt to top it. I don't think I did anything last week anyway, so why should I?
Amen.
The Holy Spirit is faithful.
Yes.
If you want Him, He's available.
Yes.
That means if you're ready to listen, He's ready to speak. Amen?
Amen?
So let's pray right now. Father, there are people that came here this morning to hear from You.
Yes.
We know You're faithful. Now teach them to be faithful with a heart that hears and receives.
Yes.
You. And for that, we'll all go home better in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Hallelujah. All right. Today we've got a kind of a combination of Mother's Day, and I want to do communion today. I had a lot of thoughts run through my head, and we've just let them go aside. But today, for a short period of time, I want to concentrate on a couple of things, not particularly Mother's Day. In reality, every day ought to be Mother's Day.
Yes.
Every day ought to be Father's Day. Every day ought to be Christmas, Thanksgiving,
yes.
New Year, and a new day. Amen?
Amen.
And I do honor all the mothers.
Amen.
I had one of the best, so it's easy for me to honor that. And my wife has never been my mother, and I will never call her mother, mom, or grandma. Somebody else, that's somebody else's job. But I've got a great wife, and they have a great mom and grandma.
Amen.
And many times, like their grandfather, Clayton got on the phone yesterday and, did he call you, Grandma? What did he say?
Grandma, I love you. Bye.
That was his honor to Grandma's Day. Grandma, I love you. Bye. And that was it. And I think she thought that was pretty good anyway. So, happy Mother's Day. Bye. Okay, today we're going to have communion. We're going to take communion, and you know what I feel about communion, but we're going to do a little bit of a review with some added information. I want to call this not taking communion. I don't believe in taking. I believe in participating in communion.
Yes.
But I'm going to give you one added dimension. We need to remember that communion is not a ritual. The minute it becomes a ritual, it's part of law.
Yes.
And we lose any effect that it has over us.
Amen.
It's an action. A ritual is not necessarily an action. It's feeding on and offering a meal to, all in one time. It's a lifestyle. You know how many times I want to tell you it's not about you. Too many times communion has been taught it's about you. When in reality, communion is very specifically talked about as being each other feeding off of each other. And the only way that can happen is if it's not about you. It's about what you can get and give. Now, in 1 Corinthians, how many of you got anything out of Wednesday night?
Amen.
Well, it's more to come. I promise you. I believe that God's doing a work again, afresh, and anew. Part of it is today. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 16 and 17. And we're going to tell you what communion is not, or the Word of God is. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16 and 17. The cup of blessing which we bless is not the communion of the blood of Christ. The bread which we break is not the communion of the body of Christ. For we being many are one bread and one body, and we are all partakers of that one bread. Now, you understand what Paul was doing here was breaking a tradition, a ritual. I want to talk to you. I don't want to spend the next 30 minutes reading the entire scripture. But what he was saying is, I got to jog your memory for a second. I got to tell you point blank. Just for a moment, this is not all about the blood of Christ and the body of Christ. Then he turns around and says, we are the body of Christ. Amen. By the way, you know what else? We're the blood of Christ. We're not just the body of Christ. We're the blood of Christ. All right. I don't know where y'all went, but look at me for a second. We not only feed, we wash. Is that correct?
That's right.
I'm commanded to wash her with the word.
That's right.
What does the blood of Jesus do? It washes. Okay? So we're not only the body of Christ, we're the blood of Christ.
Right.
We feed, we wash. We wash, we feed. Correct?
Right.
Sometimes we don't like the food and we don't like the bath, but we take it anyway, right? Okay. Let me give you a definition. Let me give you the definition of communion. For some reason, we believe that communion is the little grape juice and cracker that we get on Sunday. Okay. Here's what communion is. Koinonia, which means partnership, i.e. literally participation, or social intercourse. Communicate, communication, association, fellowship, comradeship, companionship. That's what communion is. It does not need grape juice and a cracker. Because I am the grape juice and a cracker. You are the grape juice and a cracker. That's what this is. Paul was talking about the body of Christ. You are, being many, are one, the body of Christ.
Amen. Yes.
It does not. Now remember, in the communion service, we say, take this in remembrance of Christ. Right?
Right.
We're not trying to say, don't remember what Jesus did. We're trying to remember, trying to get you to understand that what Jesus did was make you the bread and the blood. Okay? I don't know. You may not think that's deep, but it is. If we can understand. Let me say it another way. What Jesus did, we are to do also even more.
That's right.
Does that make it clear?
Yes.
Him dying on the cross wasn't enough. We have to. Him shedding blood wasn't enough. We have to. The blood washing away sins not enough. We have to become that wash. Understand? The life of Christ wasn't enough. We need to live that. We can see clearly that communion is a change process and an exchange process. The most important thing we can do is attend church, number one. Number two, fellowship with believers.
Yes.
I don't know where we get the idea that we can go to church on Sunday, shake hands, give a hug, and the rest of the week we have our real friends. The ones that we really like to be with. Do you understand that we become what we hang around? We become what we hang around. How far do y'all want to take that? You want to be somebody that doesn't work? Hang around people that don't work. You want to have low moral values? Hang around people with low moral values.
Right.
You want to have a good case of the don't cares? Hang around person with a good case of the don't cares. You want to be good? Hang around with people that are good. In fact, if you can find somebody better than you, hang around them.
Amen.
You won't bring them down, they'll bring you up, right?
That's right. Amen.
It's not about us. It's about them. We start thinking about this. We can understand why the two becomes one really has meaning. It's not just a statement. It's a statement of fact. When Donna and Patrick got married, and I refer to them because they've been around. They're about the only ones we've watched in this area. Patrick started disappearing, and Donna started disappearing. I know more about Patrick than I do Donna because Patrick's been around forever. He's been around a long time. So I can see the change in him more than Donna, who came into the picture. And I said to Connor the other day, when I watch Patrick, I see less and less of Patrick and more of Donna. Now, if I would have been around Donna for 15 years, I would have probably said the same thing about her, but I don't have that knowledge. It's the way marriage is. It's the way you want it to be. If you were good enough by yourself, you should have stayed by yourself. Right? Most people can't figure out why you're really getting married. Won't go any further. if we spend much time with unbelievers, we become tainted, and we bring that dirt into the body of believers. I don't want us to act or become elitists. I'm not talking about elitists. I'm talking about, I don't want you to be ignorant. If I'm out of the shop, crawling around in the dirt, welding, grinding, whatever, you show up, you're going to get dirty. You can't be around me in that scenario and not get dirty. Is that right? I'll tell you something else is going to happen. You're going to learn something. You'll learn something you don't know if you watch and hang around. But just remember this. Some things you don't need to know. Some things you don't need to know. All children ought to understand that. Some things you don't need to know. I don't need to know about my salvation by sinning. If I want to know what's good and what's right and what's gracious and merciful and loving, then I hang around that person that can show me that.
Amen.
That would be Jesus.
Amen.
If I want change, then I hang around that person, Jesus. And I ask the Holy Spirit to minister and change me. If I walk into a situation. Some of you have had some closer relationships in some of our problems than others. But one of my problems is when a brother or a sister in Christ begins to sin. What's sin? Doing wrong, okay? I don't care about your definition. It's doing wrong. We talked about one of the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. You do right.
That's right.
You think clearly.
Mm-hmm.
You don't do things to some people because it's not right.
Come on.
And it really turns me off. Really, it's bad. Now, you just find a sinner off the street that's never had a relationship with God, and there's nothing he can do wrong that'll offend me. Because I already know he's sin. Manifestation of sin. That can include a lot of things. What you need to understand is they don't want to be where they are. They want to be where you are. That's not elitist. That's a fact. They want to be clean. They want to be righteous. They want to know a God that's a truly loving God that cares about them right there, now. And you have that God.
Amen.
What they don't need to see is a bunch of goofy Christians that have been hanging around the dance halls, lying, cheating, and committing adultery to come in here and tell us how it ought to be. Try to set us straight. Let me put something on you Christians for a second. We wouldn't have that in the church if you stood for what was right. If every Christian, if the body of Christ, if every cell, if every member of the body of Christ would stand up for what was right, the enemy would be afraid to come in. But he works boldly right now. He works boldly in the church. He's safer in the church than outside. He can dress like a Christian so he's not recognized. He speaks like a Christian so he's not recognized. Why? Two reasons. One, not enough communion with the Holy Spirit, and not enough communion in the body of Christ.
Right.
Example. If somebody is leaning to do wrong, the only way they know, sin makes you blind.
Mm-hmm.
Sin makes you blind. You don't even know what you're doing.
Yes.
And the reason they don't know what they're doing is because the one that they're in communion with doesn't tell them they're wrong.
Yes. Right.
I'm worried that on Judgment Day, how many of us are going to stand a little bit tainted because we held lives in our hands and didn't open our mouths. We didn't say, whoa, that's wrong. Don't go there. You know that's wrong.
Yeah.
I shared that about Mr. Bunder, the one you most of you know. He started telling me, I've just come to the conclusion that churches are all wrong. You're safer outside the church than inside. Tithe is all wrong. And I just do more ministry outside than inside. I said, who are you talking to? Who do you think you're talking to? Do you think I'm going to believe that pile of you-know-what? I said, you're speaking against the living Word of God and the written Word of God, and you are wrong, and I'm here to tell you that.
Yeah.
Believe me, the subject changed quickly. Now, you know who's supposed to be uncomfortable in church? Wrongdoers.
That's right.
So if a man or a woman is telling you we're uncomfortable in that place, guess what? We know that the blood and bread represents the broken body of Christ providing for our salvation and healing.
Amen.
Please, as literal bodies of Christ, never separate the word salvation from healing. Make them conjoined. You know that the blood and the bread represents healing and salvation. And if we are the blood and the bread, then what do we represent?
Healing and salvation.
Amen. Since we know this, we are to enter into that body or sacrifice for the salvation and healing of others. Right?
Right.
Hey, am I saved?
Yes.
Am I healed?
Yes.
Then when I walk into a place, do I need it or do I need to give it?
Give it.
So I become the blood and the bread.
That's right.
Man. So chew on me a while. That's what Jesus said. That is communion. When we partake in communion, we are receiving the body of Christ. That is the anointing to deliver and heal. Let's remember about communion for a second, or what we normally think of as communion. We go in, we're given a moment to get everything straight so that we can get the blood and the body. Never is it supposed to have been presented that way. I am there to receive anointing to do what Jesus did. But in my remembering the body and the blood, by partaking of this, I am now becoming anointed to be the body and the blood. Does that make sense?
Amen.
That's what I'm there for. I want to remember. And I want to thank you, Jesus. And I want to thank you, Father. And I want to thank you, Holy Spirit, for leading me to this. But now we got to go one step further. I don't need to be saved. I don't need to be healed. But there's a lot to do. Anoint me that I can become that for somebody else.
Yes.
That's what communion's about. We are actually partaking in a plan of God to redeem and transform the world. Was Jesus a plan of God?
Yes.
Did he come to change the world?
Yes.
Are you partaking in that?
Yes.
Then your job is to change the world, not be part of the world.
Amen.
A person that doesn't ever stand up for nothing doesn't believe in nothing. Is that plain enough? If you don't ever stand up for something, you believe in nothing. If you want the total power of communion, which is salvation and healing, we must go one step further. I'm going to bring a little scripture that I found last Wednesday. 2 Corinthians 13:14. 2 Corinthians 13:14. Let me say to you this. In the Old Testament, they had communion with God. That was it. The promised land, Jesus Christ, was promised, but they would not move in. So they stayed, they were cared for, but they never moved in to the provision of abundance. 2 Corinthians 13:14. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Communion of the Holy Ghost. Now, let me say something to you. In the older church, we still carried on the communion with God. In the church that you and I know this day, they're in total communion with Jesus Christ and nearly Him only. Nearly every message is totally about Jesus. Forget the Father, and the Holy Spirit is good for goosebumps. Am I insulting you? I mean, it's the truth. It's the truth. Now, what Paul was trying to teach us is there's a step further. We've learned about Jesus. We know about the Father, but the communion now needs to be with the Holy Spirit. Why? Why do we need to spend our time, it's all right taking the sacrament, remembering Jesus and what He did, knowing that's a plan of the Father, but why now do we need to commune with the Holy Spirit? Because He continues to teach us. Okay, closest to us, easiest to communicate with, I guess, that's one way to say it. Anybody else? And He does, He not only teaches, but He woos and shoves and unctions change.
Guides and directs.
Say it again?
Guides and directs.
Guides and directs. Okay.
The resurrection power that brings us back, brings us back to life.
He's the power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead.
Amen.
and gives us life and that more abundantly.
Yes.
See, one of the things that we need to understand, let's go back. The Bible says this, that if all the words that Jesus spoke are written down, there's not enough paper in the entire world or enough storage area to store it.
That's right.
You know the scripture says that.
Yeah.
So there's got to be more than just Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Acts, Corinthians, all those things.
Right.
Got to be more than that. How are we going to get it? Communion of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Communion of and with the Holy Spirit. Christians, never forget the cross, but move away from it as fast as you can.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Never forget the cross. Well, forget the cross. Never forget what Jesus did on the cross. Right? Never forget. and never fail to tell people when they need to hear it. But the body of Christ needs a different kind of communion. They need different information. They need different kinds of help. If the body of Christ is born again and saved, they need to move on to a higher place. That's what Paul said. Let's don't fool around here with these basics anymore. Let's move on. How are we going to have understanding of these things? The Holy Spirit. He's going to explain. How are we going to be able to know when to apply? The Holy Spirit. He's going to be there to explain. There's a lot of things that were accomplished on the cross that weren't explained at the cross. Does that make sense? A lot of things accomplished. More than we can ever understand or fathom. So we have to move on. Communion of the Holy Spirit to understand, to activate, to provide. We will never have the power or the wisdom or the knowledge or the understanding of the crucifixion, the death, burial, resurrection, and how it applies to this earth without the Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 11, verse 13. Luke chapter 11, verse 13. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Now, you remember this. I've said it before and I'll say it again. Too much of our time is spent asking for what we think we need and what we think other people need instead of asking for Him. Did you get that? I don't know how we got so big-headed that we think we know what we need and we think we know what other people need. What we need to be asking for is the wisdom and knowledge and discernment, understanding and power and direction that the Holy Spirit provides.
Yes.
This was accomplished by God in and through Jesus Christ at the death, burial, resurrection. And then that power or that Spirit was released in us when Jesus returned back to the Father.
Amen.
Was that complicated or did you get it? Jesus was a plan of the Father. Salvation was a plan of the Father. The Father instituted the plan. Jesus fulfilled the plan. But Jesus ended up in the grave. And the Bible says that by the Holy Spirit, that power, the Holy Spirit raised Jesus from the grave. Jesus said, if I don't go back to the Father, the Holy Spirit can't stay or come.
Right.
We have the Trinity again. We have the designation of power and authority. Now, we still use the name of Jesus. We still give all honor to the Father, but we know beyond a shadow of a doubt this communion with the Holy Spirit that gives us all we have need of and more. Now listen, when I say all we have need of, I didn't say all I have need of. Last week's sermon was good because you have need of something and the Holy Spirit provided it to you. And I learned, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him, the Father, for the Holy Spirit? Ephesians 1, chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. Here's the one thing that the Holy Spirit explains, and I'm not going to say any more than that, because I promise you it's strictly an individual thing. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. And having believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of His glory. Did y'all get that one? When you finally believe the truth, which is you can be saved, and you communed with that truth, you got salvation.
That's right.
Right? Well, now we're past that. And now you know what we're talking about is that you have need of some other transformation, which is provided by the Holy Spirit. So what's your job now? To ask for it. You commune. Father God, I am not satisfied with where I'm at. I want more. I'm hungry and I'm thirsty. I need some more bread and crackers in the form of the Holy Spirit. Understand what I'm saying? We need to move on. You hunger and thirst after the Holy Spirit and you ask for Him, you're going to get Him. But don't look for Him in the package that you've always heard. You
yes.
look for Him with
Amen.
Your package.
Amen.
I'm trying to say that we'll never have the power or give power. We'll never have power or give power to walk in salvation and healing until we have true communion with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comforts and explains and teaches and draws and guides and directs and leads and empowers in the things and ways and words of God through Jesus Christ. In the things, ways, and words of God and our Savior Jesus. What does the world need? The world needs God in the form of Jesus Christ, the Emmanuel. And the world needs an explainer of these things, which
yes.
is the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
One that drives away confusion.
Yes.
So it's not enough for me to walk in a law. If I were of the Jewish persuasion, I'd come to understand that that's not enough. God the Father's not enough. I don't want to still be looking for a Savior or Emmanuel.
Amen.
Wouldn't that be bad if I was just looking?
Yes.
Just waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. For the promise. We have the promise. We received the promise. We have another promise now. Now that you've crossed that, you received that, you believe in Jesus Christ and His death, burial, resurrection with all your heart, now you have to move on to believe in the Holy Spirit. We must have that relationship and communion with Holy Spirit, or we fall short in our growth and the ability to help others. I should have said. Why didn't I say? Why don't you ask the Holy Spirit why you didn't do that? Now, I want you to believe me in this. And I said it Wednesday night, I'm going to say it again. When we're talking about the Holy Spirit, and I'm not going to go back and take us through salvation again, but salvation comes in a whole lot of different forms than we're taught in church.
That's right.
It can happen in the middle of you driving, or it can in the middle of you watching a secular television program. If you seek for salvation, you're going to get salvation.
Right.
You're going to get it when you seek.
Yes.
And at that moment, you're going to get it in the way God deems righteous.
Amen.
That make sense?
Yes.
Then why wouldn't asking and being filled with the Spirit be exactly the same way? I am so sick and tired of men's formulas. They are so oppressing. Let me tell you once again what's not going to happen. You're not going to get the Holy Spirit by not asking. It's not going to happen. Come on. Let me back up just a second. I can do this magnificent work for you. This is the way God is. He did that. He did a magnificent thing for us.
Amen.
All He required was to ask. Right?
That's right.
Ask. He developed a format for this people processing program He developed. It's a format. And you're going to follow that format. The format is that you're going to be sorry for what you've done. Right? And you're not going to have to spend the next 5 years trying to remember all the bad things you did so that you can go repent to some man or put in enough penance or do enough rosaries or whatever, burn enough incense or lay on your face long enough and whine and yell and scream long enough, whatever format you've been taught before. It wasn't God's format.
That's right.
God says, if you will do this, if you will repent and confess that you believe in Jesus Christ and what He did, you'll be saved. That's called asking. Did you know that?
Yes.
That's what asking is. Now He's got this second program developed. It's called that 0 to 100 in 2 seconds. I'm tired of putzing. I'm tired of idling. I'm tired of just being satisfied with salvation and never going anywhere, spinning my wheels and never seeing the power of God.
Amen.
I got this format for you, God says. It's a guaranteed program format. You punch this button and you will get it. Its name is Holy Spirit, a person, third person of the Trinity. And after you meet Him, you'll be thankful. But you need to continue to ask. You need to continue to ask. For what? What do we ask for? Everything. Everything that pertains to life and godliness, you consult with the one who has the information.
Amen.
That makes sense to you?
Amen.
Well, what if I don't feel that way? What if I don't feel like I have that relationship right now? Good. Good. If things don't feel right, change them.
Amen.
Right? If things don't feel like they're going right, let's change them.
Amen.
Let's change them. So let me bring you to this point right now. With that in mind. For those that have not asked for the gift of the Holy Spirit, that gift that's beyond description, let me read the scripture to you again. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, Do you trust that God, your Heavenly Father, give you the Holy Spirit, which is a gift that's beyond description? Let me ask you. Let me ask you again. Let me go from another direction. You ask your bride to marry you. She says, oh, sure. Let's do it. Boom, you're married. Two become one. Things don't go so well. There's some bumps and there's some things we got to get over. I got an idea. Let's seek counseling. Okay. Okay. And it'll work. God's counseling will work. Now that's a physical manifestation. God the Father, in Jesus' name, through the Holy Spirit, woos me into salvation. I become the bride of Christ. The two become one. Oh, this is great. The honeymoon's over. Things start not going so well. I don't understand. What do we need to do? Seek counsel. Who's the counsel of God on this earth? The Holy Spirit. That's how simple it is. One of the things I want to tell you, or try to convince you, is to get out of the confines of man's law. But the one thing that I don't want to do to you is put you back into confines. I'm not saying that if you don't... Here's the one thing I'm not going to teach you this morning. If you don't say this exactly correct, it's not going to turn out exactly right. That would be Satan.
Yes, right.
That's of the devil. That's not of God. So don't hear me say that. But I am saying to you that if we need some counsel right now, we need some counseling in our relationship with God and each other, we need to be able to tell the Holy Spirit and ask for wisdom, counsel, direction. And God says the only way you're going to do that is to ask to receive that gift. It's a free gift offered only to those that are saved. It's one of those blue light specials, man. Only to those that have partaken of the first gift can you get the second. Is one greater than the other? No. If we had to make a progression for some reason, then we're going to be 1, 2, 3 is God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit. But since they're one, we're not even allowed to do that. Right? I'm going to tell you today, right now, if you have not asked and received for the gift of the Holy Spirit, now is the time.
Amen.
Now is the time. I'm not going to give you a lengthy discourse, and I'm not going to manipulate you. I'm going to tell you that you need to ask and receive. Now, here's what I am going to ask you to do. This is short because we still have communion to do. I want to tell you this. Even if you're not sure that you've received the Holy Spirit, I'd like for you to... Either you haven't or you're not sure, raise your hand. Raise your hand. I think some of you that aren't raising your hand need to. Because I don't think you're sure. Let me pray right quick. Father, your eyes see. Your Holy Spirit put into their heart to raise their hands. There's the lightning and the lightning rod touching right now. I ask you to bestow on them and everybody in this place a fresh and anew the Holy Spirit of the living God. With power and wisdom and comfort and knowledge. A boldness that moves in right now with that promise of eternal, or that eternal promise. That means it's stamped on their head afresh and anew that they are a child of God filled with the Spirit of God. And they live and they move and they have their being now in whatever form you design. If that's prophecy, if that's evangelism, if that's speaking in tongues, if that's a prayer language, if it's whatever, God, we leave that to you. We're not here so goofy to demand of you a dove or anything else. We're just plugging in and asking, could you download that into us now, Lord? Father, could you download that into us now? Brand new and afresh. Empower us. Give us that new tongue. Give us that new heart. Give us that new direction. That new love and that new hunger and thirst like we've never had it before. And Father, I read in your scripture, it said if we ask, we receive.
Amen.
And by faith, we receive now, claiming we will never be the same again.
Yes.
In Jesus' name. And everybody that agrees says,
amen.
Amen. Now, when you don't feel like that anymore, you remind the devil of this prayer.
Yeah.
Did you pray with me?
Yes.
Did you agree with me? Then when you don't feel like it, you remind the devil of this prayer and God's promise.
Amen.
Have we ever read a scripture yet that said you had to do somersaults?
No.
Be crucified again?
No.
Anything like that?
No.
Just ask, right? Listen, it's so simple, sometimes it just flies right by. Don't let the devil steal it by letting it fly by.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
All right. With the explanation that we've just had, I want us to begin a new communion. We're going to take the bread and the body as symbols of a thank you to Jesus Christ, a thank you to God the Father, and a fresh, let's just flip on the switch. We're going to be anointed and empowered to listen and communicate with the Holy Spirit and do the work that God says through Him. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Will everybody agree with that?
Yeah.
And let me tell you what's going to happen. By faith, I'm going to state this, and you're going to believe it with me. You're going to get some new brain cells you never had.
Amen. Praise God.
Thank you, Lord.
We need them.
Thank you, Lord.
We're going to take this in memory of Jesus Christ, and then we're going to take it as an anointing. As we take this, we're going to get anointed with some wisdom that we've never had before.
Amen.
Some understanding. There's going to be some clarity in situations that we've been fighting for several years now to understand. There's going to be a clarity come. And with that, a peace. A clarity and a peace. And don't be a bit surprised if a new love doesn't form inside of you.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
A new hunger and a new thirst.
Thank you, Lord.
We're going to speak with new tongues. Now, it doesn't make any difference what I believe or anybody else believe. Those new tongues, you'll know, and everybody else will too. What I mean by that is you'll recognize them not to be your normal speech language. That doesn't mean it has to be a form of something that's not understood. Let me say this. Any of you that have hung around me know that I have one type of conversation when it's you and I at the dinner table, and when I get up here, it's another kind of conversation. You know that. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the manifestation of the giftings and the new tongues of the Holy Spirit. I believe when I'm in the pulpit that I could persuade anybody of the realness of God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. I'm not convinced that when I'm not up here, I can convince anybody of anything. But I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I have a new tongue that's empowered standing right here. That's what I'm talking about. I also have a prayer language that I value very much. It's between me and God. I'm not going to waste it as a form of some kind of manipulation or anything in here. In other words, I don't have to show you that prayer language so that you'll know that I pray.
That's right.
I don't owe that to you.
Amen.
You don't owe it to me. What you do owe the kingdom of God is that you speak with a tongue like you've never spoken with before. Let it come. If you have more questions, I can give you more references to study. But just accept it. The Bible says unless you become as a little child,
right,
you'll never understand the things of the kingdom.
Yes.
So don't try to wise this out or study it out. You receive it, you act different, and then let God explain it to you.
Amen?
Amen? If you will begin to pass out, how are you going to do this? Both at the same time or have you got a way to pass it out? Okay, well, why don't you just go ahead and pass through and you all take. By the way, there is a... As you do this, go ahead and do it. I'm going to read you some scripture, and I want you to take this carefully. Now, we've already prayed and prophesied over this, so go ahead and pass it out, but don't partake yet. 27 through 31 says this. Listen to me carefully. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Did you hear that? So I'm going to tell you right now, if you're not saved, don't you partake of this until you get that taken care of. Anybody in this place that's not saved, you bow your head. If you believe in the Lord, then you repent and confess quickly that you're a sinner and that you want to be saved. And I promise you, if you will believe, you'll be saved.
Amen.
And then you won't have to worry about whether you're in an unworthy manner or not. Let me give you just a moment for that. Bow your heads. If you have a problem between you and your Maker, get it taken care of this moment. Lord, I thank you. Father, I thank you. Holy Spirit, I thank you that it's being done right now. The 28th verse says, but let a man examine himself. Let a man examine himself. Now we just move from the unsaved to the saved. Then maybe has not been living exactly like they should live. Let him examine himself and get that taken care of. Then he can eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner, or in sin and rebellion, eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning or respecting the Lord's body. What causes, I mean, what happens? If you do this, there are many sick and weak among you, and many sleep, for we, if we would have judged ourselves, we would not be judged. Thank you. I'm not trying to put fear in you. I'm trying to put respect for the Lord's body.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Be patient. I'm not going to be left out. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise you. Thank you, Jesus, for salvation. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for salvation. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, thank you for being in this place and ministering and administering as we move forward right now in faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, once again, I remind you that in faith, we're going to eat this body and drink this cup, and we're going to do it in respect of what Jesus did. But not enough today. We're asking for that anointing of the Holy Spirit. We're partaking and communing with Him so that we can become that bread and that cup that this world needs desperately.
Amen.
Will everybody agree that that's what's going to happen?
Amen.
All right. Lord, we thank you for that. When we gave thanks, and we did, He said, take and eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this and remember it for me. Please take this knowing that your body will also be broken for God's work. In the same manner, He took also the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. The new covenant. That means if I don't go, the Comforter can't come. So we get both. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
This cup is the new covenant. Do this as often as you do it. Remember me. Drink, please. Hallelujah. Thank you for the anointing. Thank you for the anointing that breaks the yoke. You and I are no longer under bondage. Not a yoke of bondage or guilt or condemnation. By the work of God, the plan of God, the work of Jesus Christ, and the work of the Holy Spirit, we're now anointed into peace and freedom and joy and love. Somebody needs to be saying amen.
Amen.
Say, that's me.
That's
and I'm free.
Yeah, I'm free.
I'm more free than I've ever been in my life. Hallelujah. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you for that. We thank you for that. We thank you that it's not by my word, but it's by yours, but we receive it with thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now let me tell you the best part. The best part is that this was a ritual that we were supposed to do often. But Holy Spirit communion is constant. Constant. Amen. So the wisdom doesn't come and go as in the Old Testament. It comes and stays as in the New.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
And now, for those of you that are heavy laden with some guilt in the past, you're not supposed to have it anymore.
Amen.
Give it up. Trade it for the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Now let me tell you something else. Relax. 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 Tanya. Chuck. Harry. Patrick, everybody in this place, the world is not on your shoulders by what you say. It's by what you believe. Amen? You're not in bondage of having to speak it just right or say it just right. You're free of bondage. The Holy Spirit now has marked you with what?
Spirit promise.
I tell you what, I don't know how this works, but when I'm marked, when somebody comes around, they know it. And it isn't up to what I say. It's who I am and who I hang around with. And if I'm full of the Holy Spirit right now, then I'm hanging around right now with Him, and He shows through me.
Amen.
I need to hear some amens. That's me.
Amen.
Come on, when you hear the truth, you need to grab it and pull it into you.
Yes.
Don't let it float to somebody else. There's plenty to go around. Hallelujah. My income is not based on what I can do.
That's right.
It's based on how God can do.
That's right.
Amen?
Yes, that's right.
I'd rather look for the Holy Spirit than look for a job. Because I got a feeling I'm going to get one as soon as I get the other.
That's right.
I know how parents are. I know that if one of their children were in trouble, they'd get the money if they had it. They'd get them out of trouble. Well, I serve one that has all the money.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen?
Amen.
And if I can just receive, if the Holy Spirit can speak to me long enough for me to listen, then He's going to tell me how to get there from here. Amen?
Yeah.
There is no impossible situation in the Holy Spirit. We've always said that about God, and we believe that. But now if we can just understand that there's a voice within us speaking constantly, then we understand that there's no impossible situation. When I got saved, I got saved.
Yep. Amen.
When I got healed, I got healed.
Yes. Yes.
When I get filled, I got filled.
Me too.
Say it. I got filled.
I got filled.
All right. Don't let anybody ever talk you out of that. They'll try. I was talking to my son yesterday. He's thinking about getting out of the military. He said, Dad, I got a hold of Blue Cross and Blue Shield. It costs me $300 a month for medical insurance right now if I got out. I said, Jason, I'm 57 going on 58. I've never had a dime of medical insurance in my life. I'm doing pretty good. Let's translate that. $300 a month for 58 years at 12. What is that? A lot. That's my answer because I'm not sharp enough to get the figure. Well, my savings is vested in Christ Jesus. Now, that's my conviction. I'm not trying to put it on you. But many, many, many moons ago, the Holy Spirit laid it on me that salvation and healing the same thing, and I can't reject one without rejecting the other. That's me. Fortunately, the Holy Spirit deals with all of us different, and He's going to tell you the truth, lead you into paths of light.
Amen.
Well, Stan, you know you're going to have problems when you get older. Who? How do I know that? What Spirit told you that? The Holy Spirit never told me that.
That's right.
And by the way, if I do, just kick me off. Get me out of the way. To be absent here is to be present with the Father.
Right.
Scare me. Just scare me. Did y'all ever get to the point where you'd like to check out anyway? Well, then don't ever let any threat of the enemy scare you because you are sealed.
Yes.
You're already, I told you this before, you're already in heaven, you don't even know it.
Amen.
Read it in the Bible, it'll tell you, you're already there.
Amen.
Just waiting to get out of this body, but your spirit is already there. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now let me tell you what's going to happen via the Holy Spirit in you. Wrong is going to look wronger than it ever has before.
Amen.
Did you hear me?
Amen.
Yes.
Now that's not good English, but as long as we understand, we got it made. Black is blacker and white is whiter and gray is ugly.
Yes.
Amen. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He clarifies. He clarifies. You know what clarifies mean? He removes all the junk and gives you the pure.
Amen.
You know how to clarify better? You remove the solids, all the junk, and you get the pure. You get the oil. You want to walk in the Holy Spirit? You want to walk with the Holy Spirit? Quick to respond to Him.
Amen.
Listen to me. If in love, if a friend or a brother or anybody is doing wrong, He's going to ask you more often than not to say something about it. Why? Because that's who He is. Are you understanding me? That's who He is. Nurse, doctor, lawyer, right? All those descriptions are in there. That's who He is. The power coming from the Father, the attentiveness coming through the Holy Spirit. A personal, let me tell you who He is. Y'all ready for this? He is your personal 24/7 representative of the exact image and thought process of God Almighty.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
That's who He is.
Thank you.
No distance anymore. No distance anymore. Wow. Jesus closed the difference.
Amen.
Remember the veil?
Yeah.
Torn in two. Jesus provided that. Now you have not, I don't want to even say direct access to God. We're further along than that. Y'all get this? We're further along than direct access to God.
Amen.
We now have God in the form of His Spirit dwelling with us 24/7.
Hallelujah.
He doesn't make mistakes.
Amen.
He is not timid. He is not broke. He's not sick.
Try it.
Not afraid of anything. I'm going to tell you something. That's the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. He is not afraid of anything. That's who we serve. Amen?
Yeah.
Boom. 12 o'clock. I don't know why I care. Holy Spirit doesn't care.
That's right.
Are all hearts clear?
Amen.
All hearts clear. Praise the Lord.
Yes,
praise the Lord. Patrick, you need to say something, or you just can't hardly sit down?
That's right.
All right, stand with me. All right. Everybody in here marked?
Yes.
See, everybody in here is going to be marked one way or the other.
That's right.
You just need the righteous mark. All right. Then if you're marked, you're sealed.
Yes.
Do you understand that God's a jealous God and He doesn't want anybody playing around on Him?
That's right.
Nobody plays around. That doesn't just mean sexually. That means more and more critical in the spirit. We don't want to crucify Jesus again. I'm not going to allow anybody to take my Jesus away.
Amen.
Right? That would be crucifying Him again. To say that He's not the Messiah would be to crucify Him again. That would mean to eliminate His very person as the Messiah, as your Emmanuel. And you need to be quick to say, not my Jesus.
Amen.
Come on. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, that you're real. Thank you, Jesus, that you are real and you are our Emmanuel.
Yes.
You are the Messiah.
Yes.
You came and you did what God wanted you to do, which was deliver us into light, the promised land. Holy Spirit, thank you for being the promised land.
Yes.
Thank you that we can walk in freedom and health and joy and peace, sleep good at night with a clear conscience, because that day, this day and every day, you have been quick to correct and direct and to love and to pursue, and to persuade, and to speak through us, and to love through us, and to understand, give us understanding. Hallelujah. And then nothing secret from us, because nothing secret from the Father. Hallelujah. There is no hidden wisdom, because it's all been revealed
yes.
through the Father in Jesus' name by the Holy Spirit.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. You, praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. We walk in health and abundance and power and authority,
yes.
because it is the will of God for His people. Holy Spirit, we ask you to continue to be faithful to explain that process and increase our faith in that area until we ride on the high places, as the will of God says. Then we walk in the promised land where the blessings are greater than our ability to handle it. That's the promised land, and we receive that by the leading of the Holy Spirit now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Now, as we leave this place and go our separate ways, let us understand that we are the body and the blood. We are the cup and the bread. We are. And we have things that the world needs. Let us walk with a smile on our face and a contentment like we've never felt before, knowing who we are in Christ Jesus, knowing where the Holy Spirit is with us now. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. And that this body is going to touch and heal at least a portion of this world.
Yes.
Hallelujah. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Turn it up just a little more, Patrick. Let's just meditate for a moment.
We are the and the sheen of His hand, just the sheen of His hand. For He is our God.
Thank you, Lord.
And we are the people of His land.
Are you the sheep of God?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Then I promise you He's going to lead you into green grass and still waters. That's where your life is. Green grass and still waters. Everybody that loves God, give Him a hand right quick. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Y'all be dismissed and enjoy your mothers and families and whatever you're going to do today. Be blessed.
When I see the wonders your hands have created, my heart cries, holy are you, Lord. For the marvelous mercy your love has provided, I cry, holy, holy are you, Lord.